Hallelujah. Well, I'm so glad he's here, and I'm glad we're aware of it, praise God. Amen. You know you're allowed to worry when God does. One time the Lord told me, he said, when I'm worried, you can. Come on now. So there are times I keep running in and say, you worried yet? But some of you, honestly, if you're worried tonight, you're violating. Because if you could see us, that God saw, you never worry. Come on now. You would never be anxious. And, tonight I want to deal with, literally the most important thing. How many people understand the number one call of a Christian is to see? John 3:3 says you must be born again to see. You must be born again to see. Come on now. So literally, he's telling you the purpose of being born again is to see. Come on. I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, how come your church, how come they don't witness more? He said, oh, a witness is someone who sees, has seen something firsthand. So when they stop seeing things firsthand, they stop witnessing. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? God literally wants to restore vision tonight. He wants to create vision tonight. He's a God who sees. He is the God who sees and makes provision. He sees. He is the God who sees, and he's trying to create a people who see. Come on now. Amen. And that's the way Jesus operated. He only did what he saw the Father doing. So literally, if you can't see, you can't do. How many people understand, if you can't see yourself doing it, you won't? Come on. If you can't see yourself losing weight, you won't. If you can't see yourself prospering, you won't. If you can't see yourself happy, you won't be. Come on. If you can't see, how you see is what you receive. And most of us, we have become, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:16, to know no man after the flesh. And this is what the Lord showed me. He said the problem is many of us know ourselves in the flesh. Come on. Yeah. And because of that, see that happened with Moses. Moses knew he was a deliverer, and that was a call of the Spirit of God. Now, he didn't know how to do it. But he knew himself in the Spirit, and he thought everyone else knew him that way. He just thought everyone else knew what he knew. But that image changed. When he literally tried to do something in the flesh before its time and was basically brought, left him on the backside of a wilderness, and all of a sudden this man that who used to know who he was, God had to reappear to him. Come on now. To literally begin to reawaken the vision he placed in his heart to begin with. Because what had happened is because of his failure, he began to see himself and know himself after the flesh. And to be honest, this is the word of God to this place. Is that many of us, we have been vanquished. We feel like we've been on the backside of the wilderness. And now God is beginning to try to reawaken things, and our excuses are coming out. I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't do that. You never would have said that when you knew yourself in the Spirit.
That's right. That's right. That's good.
But because now you know yourself better in the flesh than you do in the spirit, come on. Some of you right now, that was worth coming for right there. Come on, because I know it's true. And how many people understand? When you know yourself after the flesh, you walk as a mere man. That's flesh-minded. It's carnally minded. We always think carnally minded may mean we have wrong thoughts in terms of sexual or things like that. But many times, carnally minded is how you see yourself. Come on. It's disagreement with heaven. It's a disconnect going on. See, how many people understand? Every one of you is called to be a seer. Every one of you. In fact, every one of you probably has some area of your life in which you oversee. If you're a parent, you're called to oversee children. If you're a grandparent, you oversee everything. Come on. You know? But the bottom line, if you're a pastor, you're called to be an overseer. You know? Every one of if your workplace, there are people a lot of times that you oversee. Every one of us is called to have vision in many areas of life. Come on. And because there's a principle in the Word, whatever you see, you get. As a man sees himself or thinks within himself, so is he. So if you see yourself as a grasshopper, you end up never, ever challenging any giants. Because how you see yourself affects what you do. See, when you're sick, if you don't see yourself well, you'll never be well. You know? And when you're broke, if you don't see yourself with abundance, you'll never get there. Come on. If you can't see yourself winning, you won't. You know, I remember years ago when I was lifting weights and you know, I hit their sticking points. And at the time, I was, you know, I could bench like 285 pounds four times. And I weighed like 165, so I was pretty strong. And, you know, but the problem is when they put on 300 pounds, I couldn't lift it. And it made no sense that I couldn't lift it once, you know, when you could do 285 four times. But there was a mental block. Come on. And, you know, what happens, I could not see myself lifting it. And my roommate actually helped me. Because one day I was in there and he knew I could do it. So I told him, I said, put 285 on. And he did. I didn't check to see what it was. I got under there and I thought, oh, I'm going to get it, you know, and this will be, you know, this is not hard for me. And I said, how much you put on? Now, he lied. He said, 285. I said, okay. And I remember I went, once, twice, and about the third time, I barely got it up, and I thought, I feel weak today. And he's laughing. And I said, why are you laughing? He said, you just benched 315 pounds. I said, I can't bench 300 pounds. He said, you can now. But, you know, how many of you understand? I could have done it a long time ago, but there was a mental block. And many of you, what God's trying to do is he's trying to change the picture. Amen. Because if he can change the picture, he can change your performance. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? But until the picture changes, nothing else changes. Come on. Because literally, you are going to live out the picture you have on the inside. Come on. And the Word comes to change the picture. So I have to ask people, what do you see for your life? What do you see for your children's life? You know, as the head of the house, what do I see for my wife's life? Am I a person of vision? Or am I stuck Because yesterday or 20 years ago, I had a vision. But literally, it's no longer up to date. And while I believe it's still true, I know God has to tweak it for it to take off. Come on. To make it current. And I believe that many of us are that, like, we're in a situation in Revelation 3, we got to stop being in denial and say we actually see when we're blind in areas. We call ourselves rich when we're in poverty in some areas. And what does he say? He said, buy some eye salve. Yeah. You need your eyes anointed. Yeah. You know, the Bible says, call unto me and I'll show you. He doesn't say he's going to tell you. Yeah. I'll show you. He's a show and tell God. Yes. First you see it, then you hear it. When the blinders are removed, that's how you got saved. You didn't hear the gospel first. You saw the gospel. And once you could see it, you could hear it. Yeah. It's first lightning, then thunder. Come on now. Yeah. And I found out something. You know, many people will be disobedient to the voice of God. But you know, the vision of God, it literally marks you. You can't get away from what you've seen. You can't. When it comes from heaven, and what did he tell Moses? He said, see to it that you build according to the heavenly vision. Come on. What we many times will do is when we make the revision, not God. We're getting older. Let's get more realistic. We don't have the energy we once had. Come on now. Let's and rather than grow the people, we shrink the vision. If it hasn't happened by now, let's get real. And we change realities. Come on. And God wants to elevate you back up. Come on. He's trying to do that. The anointing is to literally restoration of vision. That's what we're preaching, man. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me. And one of the things he's called me to do is recovery of sight to the blind. People that once used to be able to see. But they've been through stuff. And the stuff they've been through has robbed them. And God says there's a recovery. There's a restoration going on. Come on now. Recovery of sight. Where they can begin to see with the freshness they used to see with. Come on now. Where they begin to experience things again, that where all of a sudden life begins to be a life of seeing. You know, only blind people will follow a blind leader. Seeing people will never follow blind leadership. That's why there have been some even presidents in the United States, and I'm not mentioning names, but because I looked at them and said, they're blind. I can't follow them. I can pray for them. I just can't follow them. And it's been on both sides of the coin, by the way. I'm not saying one. I'm not getting, you know, I'm not even going with parties. I'm going with the fact that when I look and say, man, this is what God says and this is what they're saying. One of them is blind and it's not God. Come on now. You hear what I'm saying? And to be honest with you, you know, the best leaders are those who can paint a picture and make a dream come alive. See, God wants to make you the head, not the tail. Well, the head can see. Now, we've been mentioning all week, it says we're not supposed to look back or ponder the things of the past. Don't live there. Don't live in regret. Don't camp in the good old days. Don't think, if you believe in your heart that you have experienced the apex already, you have. If you believe, hey, you know, I remember when, you know, I remember the former days of glory in this church. And, you know, yeah, and back in the former days of glory, you were still pressing. You were still expecting more. You were expecting to purchase land and build buildings and take over the place. Come on. But you know, most people, people who lack vision always settle. Wherever you settle is where your vision ended. Come on now. I'm going to help you. I may not make you feel good, but I'm going to help you. Come on. See, how many of you understand that literally people without vision, they're not going anywhere. God says he's going to do a new thing, but he can only do it if you can see it, if you can only perceive it. Will you not be aware of it? Will you not be able to see it? And God told me my people are not in a position to see. So we have to be repositioned. And one of the things we need to do is to believe that we're going to see the glory of God. Believe we're going to see. Believe we're going to see. Some of us need to begin to put our faith. I am a seer. I'm not a blind person. I'm a seeing person. Come on now. My eyes are open to see everything God has for me. Come on. I will not miss a thing God is doing. I got my faith on that. I'm a seer. I'm cutting edge type of person. I'm the one that brings ideas. Come on. You know, like I said, because I've trained my son that way, now he's kind of reawakening it in me. Because I trained him, there is no box. You know, a lot of people put lids on. Well, if you have no box, you have no lid. God is not limited. The only thing he's limited to by is our faith. All right, unbelief limits God. Come on. And literally, you know, I've taught my son, I said, you know, you're going to be the idea person. Whatever you can see, son, you can do. He expects to see. And, you know, when he was meeting with the Intel executives last year, one of the things they asked him, how did you get to be so smart? And he laughs about all those things. He always thinks it's funny. And, you know, one of the things they asked him, they asked me too, they said, you know, your son's a blank check. I said, why? They said, because he can see what we can't. He said, you got to understand something. A lot of people can see what already's there. In other words, even some of the best minds can regurgitate. They have great recall. They said, well, the thing with him is he's calling in stuff no one's seen here before. And he said, because he can see what no one else can see, he said, literally, everyone around in the high-tech industry will be after him. Why? Because seers are valuable. What the world right now needs is seers. People with vision. People with vision can change the climate in every area of life. They can change the economy. They can change the moral climate. People with vision. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? Without a vision, people perish. Without a vision, they're undisciplined. Without a vision, there's no reason to attend. Every church should be a dream center. Every church should be a place where people come in blind and leave seeing. We should be producing producers. Come on, in every arena of life. And, you know, if we do that, you know, that's what my son, you know, one of the things he said, Daddy, he said, I'm going to change the economy by myself. He said, because everything I see, I can create a team to do it. And he said, if I keep creating teams, he said, I'll be creating all the jobs. He said, you know, he said, if they would just give me the money, we'd have a recovery overnight. And he believes that. And I believe it. You know why? Because he's a seer. See, when, you know, how many people understand any area you don't have vision in, you're perishing. If your money doesn't have vision, it perishes. I remember years ago when I was in Kentucky, and they talk weird. They do, man. The hills, you got to be kidding, man. And I was, you know, I love listening to them talk. I mean, it's worth going there. And, you know, just the stories you can tell because you see things in there. You know. And, you know, I remember one time I looked at something. I said, did you see that? He said, yeah, I seen it. And I love that. I said, what'd you say? I said, say that again. I said, did you see it? I seen it. So I said, you saw it? He said, I told you I seen it. I said, okay, that will preach. I said, because honestly, everything you see, you plant seeds towards. See, if you honestly, the Bible says if you're going to sow, you should expect. Yes. Don't mock God. Whatever a man sows, he's going to reap. Yes. See, what you do should always have vision attached to it. Yes. Come on now. Yes. Do you hear what I'm saying? Your money, when you give, it should have vision attached to it. You should expect a harvest. Yes. Come on. There's nothing wrong with that. Everything that you give, there, you know, I mean, blessings and you know, curse causeless does not alight. But I found that blessing causeless doesn't happen. There's always cause and effect. There's always cause and effect. Come on now, see, does this make sense? See, you know, we need to teach people how to conquer, not just how to cope. Well, if you're blind, you are basically at the mercy of darkness. Yeah, how many people understand when you're blind, you can be very embarrassed with life? I have a friend, well-known evangelist. I won't mention his name, but well-known. And he was, you know, one day he was in a hotel room. And he told me the story, and I laughed because when, you know, as much as I travel, I understand it. And he said, you know, when I stay in hotel rooms, he said, I don't. He said, normally I just sleep in my underwear because no one else is there. And he said, you know, one night, he said, I got up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. And he said, I walked into the bathroom. And I was going to turn the light on, and I realized the light was already turned on. And he said, I wasn't in the bathroom, I was in the hall. And I already shut the door. So here I am. He said, thank God it was like 3 a.m. And nobody was in the hallway. But I'm standing in the hallway in my undies, wondering, now what do I do? Locked out. He said, I didn't want to go down to the front desk. Can I have the key? There's evangelist so-and-so. Let me invite you to church, you know. And he said, you know, he said, there's always a way of escape. God does make one. And he said, I did notice that the housekeeper's little closet was open. And I found the master key and got back in. And he said, you know, he said, you know, if the light had been on all along, I would never end up in the hallway. Yeah. The reason I ended up there was I was in darkness. And how many people understand when you lack vision, you end up places you don't want to be? Yeah. Come on. And most people, we think it's okay just to lack vision the rest of our life. And be honest with you, if you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there. And if you do, you won't know it. Yeah. Come on now. Does this make sense to you? See, God wants to turn some stuff on. The Holy Ghost wants to show you things to come. See, he who sees leads. Period. Literally, a visionary type of person, eventually, if you're a seer, people will find you out. Blind people are always looking for someone who sees. Will you lead me? And I found out something. If you're a visionary, you will actually reproduce after your own kind. You'll produce visionaries. Because you'll always reproduce after your own kind. But, you know, the church, many of the escapism that we have preached has literally held back revelation. Because we're so excited about leaving. We're not looking for anything down here. Come on now. You know, I mean, we're asleep and we don't mind it. When you're asleep, you know, how many people understand? It's really hard to see in your sleep other than dream. But in terms of having vision. Helen Keller once was asked, you know, what's worse than being born blind? She said to have sight without vision. And so many people have that. See, the Holy Ghost wants to show us things to come. Come on now. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal what's already ours. Come on. He wants us to begin to see like we've never seen before. And I don't know about you, but, you know, wherever you're stuck, it's because you're not seeing what you need to see to get unstuck. You know, how many of you have ever been, you know, have you ever seen people, you know, and I preach all the time and teach all the time, but I love it when the light turns on. I can watch it. I mean, I used to teach Victory Bible Institute, and you know, so a lot of those students for about half the you know, I do 6 weeks worth of teaching. And about 3 or 4 weeks into the class, all of a sudden you could see the light popping in some of them. It's like, whoa! They caught it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, before then they were taking notes, but next thing you know, it was alive in them. It changed the way they walked. It changed the way they talked. Changed everything. You know? It's like, you know, I love it when revelation comes, and it should be coming regularly to us. Where all of a sudden we're still discovering things. We're learning. We're growing. We're seeing things different. You know, my wife was talking to my son today, and she just brought this up. And, you know, Joey's always had a vision for orphanages, always had a vision in the business realm in terms of just taking over. But today, you know, he's been pondering this for a while, but he hadn't talked about it. He talks goofy unless he's been thinking a while. It's a kid thing. But, you know, today he was talking to my wife, and he looked up and he said, you know, I've been reading Scripture. He said, I think I'm elder material. So he said, you know, I think, you know, the Bible says that he desires to be an elder, desires a good thing. He said, I know I'm not called to be the pastor or a preacher. But he said, I'm apt to teach. And he said, you know, I can see myself being an elder. Well, you know, I can see him doing it now too. Why? Because he can see himself doing it. Come on now. Some of you, God wants to he wants to show you something you can see yourself doing. Come on now. All of a sudden, you can see yourself doing it. Come on. And be honest, if you can see yourself doing it, it's just a matter of time. If you hold on to that, you're going to be doing it, praise God. Does this make sense? Many of us, what we see men, but we don't see things clearly. We need another touch. We're like the man, you know. And how many of you can say, God, I see, but help me to see clearly. I've got vision, but it's blurry right now. And God wants to touch your eyes. He wants to refocus us. Come on now. When your eye is single, it's full of light. Yeah. You know, he wants us to get that look. When my son's in the zone, it's amazing. I've watched it with, you know, athletes. I'm sure I've had it athletically. Occasionally I have it when I'm preaching. It's a certain look. And, you know, I know it. It's something, it's just my zone, baby. I love it when I'm in my zone. And it's like, you know, everything slows down when I'm in my zone. Everything simplifies there. It's like things that were moving so fast, there's like slow motion. It's like you're able to perceive everything. You're in the zone. Well, I watch my son. And when he gets in that zone of ideas, it doesn't happen all the time. But, you know, one idea can create a year and a half worth of work for him. So when he gets in the zone, he locks himself there. And it's like he gets a certain look on his face. You know, it's like he's locked in. Some of you, God wants you to get locked in. He wants to show you something. And some of us, he wants to re-show us some things. He wants to convince us the deal's still on. He wants to take us outside our surroundings and show us the stars and say, hey, Abram, the deal's still on. You're not too old. And yes, you did blow it, but I knew you would. I knew what I was calling. But the deal's still on because I'm watching over my word to perform it. Come on now. You know, I found out something about God. He already knows we're not perfect. And you know, many of us, when we found out about ourselves being not perfect, we started disqualifying ourselves. Well, you know, if I haven't done it by now, I guess I never will. Well, who said that? Who you been listening to? Come on. Does this make sense? See, you know, God wants to take you outside, just like he did, you know, with Abraham in Genesis 13. He wants to take you back up to the mountaintop. And he says, as far as you can see, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, I'll give it to you. And to your descendants. As far as you can see. And I tell parents, I say, you know, you need to begin to see for your kids. Train up a child in the way he should go. You know, one of the things that I'm very much aware of that with my son. I thought, God, I didn't know if he would be a preacher. I didn't know if he would be an athlete. I didn't know if he would be, you know, I did not know when he was born. It was a discovery. And I was watching him discover. And I was and I didn't define him. I let God do it. But when I recognized, I began to feed the bents in his life, the talents, the gifts. I began to speak into that prophetically, cause them to come alive and thrive. And you know, I know when he leaves home, he knows exactly what he's called to do. He knows what he's called to do for the next 500 years probably, or whatever. You know, it's something that's so much. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he leaves, he won't depart. And that doesn't mean train them up Christian. It means train them up so that when they leave home, they already know the call of God on their lives. They already know their purpose. They already know their bent. They already know what area or arena that they're supposed to influence. They already know it. And if they already know it, that vision will keep them from departing from the faith. Good Christians without vision, when they leave home, many times they go off in all different directions. But those who know what they're called to, come on. See, I believe, once again, the church has got to become visionary. Come on now. We've got to expect God to show us great and mighty things we know not. We've got to believe that we're going to receive things that flesh and blood did not reveal to us. We don't need just man-made techniques. We need God answers. Come on now. And when we begin to bring the God answers, then the world will come to us. We have the world knocking at our door. You know? I mean, just today, calls from Yale, calls from Cornell. One of them was either the president or vice president of the university. I mean, it's almost like they're coming to us. They're actually coming to my son. But the bottom line is his gifts made room for him. Yes. Come on now. And see, what I want you to do is I want you to stir up the gift, not only in you, but also be a gift stirrer in other people. Speak into their potential. Speak into their vision. Begin to see, not according to the flesh. Know no man after the flesh. Don't look at the rebellion. Don't look at all the other stuff. Look at the potential. Come on now. Speak to the good part. See, if you acknowledge every good thing in you, then your faith becomes effectual in Christ. Come on now. Most of us, we acknowledge all the bad stuff in us, and we wonder why we have no faith at all. Come on. Does this make sense? See, if we literally, honestly, God wants to show you what he's already given you. See, the inheritance must be revealed. It's already given. But we need to have our eyes open so we might see what's already given. You got to see it. And there is something true that you got to see it to believe it. Not natural. Everybody lives by sight. Some live by natural sight. Some live by spiritual sight. Everybody ends up doing what they see. Everyone does. And if you see yourself doing nothing, you do what you see. Nothing. You see yourself tired, you will be. You know, if you listen to the world, you'll actually have that picture painted on the inside of you. You know, some of us, honestly, we had the wrong pictures painted on us when we were growing up. But, you know, we don't have to stay a victim. We can allow God to repaint. One of the definitions of glory means to paint. So literally what God wants to do, he wants to repaint you. He's an artist. Come on now, and you are his canvas. Come on. He wants to repaint a picture. Come on. He wants to literally change the image on the inside so it changes everything on the outside. Come on. When you begin to see yourself in the image of God, you act like the image. Call things that are not as though they are. Am I helping you? Some of us, honestly, we got to reposition ourselves on the wall to see what the Lord will speak. We need to reposition ourselves to see. Habakkuk 2, it said, verse 1 says, I will position myself on the wall to see. What does that mean? You can't see from a low point. You're going to have to move on up. You're going to have to position yourself to see. You're going to have to literally make a concerted effort to say, I am a seer. I am positioning myself to see what the Lord will speak. God, I'm not expecting just to hear. I'm expecting to see it. I'm expecting it to mark me. I'm expecting it to change me. I'm expecting something that I see will change me and change the world. Come on. If you'll see what the Lord will speak. Record the vision. Write down what you see so that those who read it can run with it. They can see it too. Come on now. God says when he gives a vision, you know, one of the things that is happening with my son, as he shares with some of the top people in the industry, like the Intel people that he's been with, as he shares it, they begin to see it. He's imparting vision to the movers and shakers. How much more? There was a time, I know with this church, where you believed that you could reshape this community. You saw yourself that way. You know, I mean, you know, other people begin to see yourself that way. You know why? Some people, other on the outside begin to see you a little bit that in that direction because you saw yourself there. And eventually, you saw yourself there way before they saw that you guys doing that. But eventually, as they saw some success outwardly, they begin to cause favor. Come on. What I found out is lack of vision shuts down favor. Why would God want to exalt something that's not seen? You know, because most of us, we just think it's just about us. It's not. Vision's never about you. Vision affects you. You know, that's why, you know, I've told my son, I said, it's never about the money. Never. It's a byproduct. It's about creativity. It's about literally birthing something. It's about showing people a way, and once they can see it, it's easy. Everything, all progress, anytime there's ever been progress, it's because of a visionary. Every single time someone had to see what was not yet here. And they had to stick with it until other people could see it. And every visionary I know of, they had to suffer persecution from blind people who said it couldn't be done. The Chinese proverb, you know, people should never stop. I mean, people who say it cannot be done should never stop the man doing it. Come on now. No, there are a bunch of people who say it can't be done. It can't be done. You know, it's like, you know, automobiles can't be. Even Thomas Edison told Henry Ford, scrap the Model T. It can't be done. And Edison, you know, how many times people, hey, you know, I'm sure people say, the electric light ain't going to happen. Come on. You know, airplane, the Wright brothers. Everyone thought they were the wrong brothers, but they were right. Come on. See, every one of you, God wants to cause you to become a seer. Because the moment you see, you become cutting edge. As soon as you have vision, you become prime time. Come on now. Because visionary people change the world. Come on now. And you'll never change the world without vision. You will never change the world unless you believe the world can be changed. You can't. How can you change the world when everyone believes that this world is just going to hell and what? And that's all that comes out of their mouth. You know, they think, well, it's going to wax worse and worse, but that's half of the picture. Shine, arise and shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord's risen upon you. And those that are in darkness are going to start coming to light. Come on now. They're going to be able to see. You become their answer. But until you're willing to have vision, they are asleep. They are basically dead in their sin, and you're asleep in the light. And nothing gets done. Come on, somebody. Says, you hear what I'm saying? See, how many people are saying God puts a prophetic word on the inside of you that marks your life forever? And we mentioned last night, it's your it. It's like Joseph's dream. Until it comes to pass, it tests you. Sometimes it's real, you know, we want to let go, but we can't. Because the moment we let go of life. And faith will say, well, you let go of that prophetic word over your life, your faith gets shipwrecked. You got to fight a good fight according to that word that has been prophesied over you.
That's right. That's
right. I remember years ago, I just got a, you know, on Facebook, this guy became my friend. It's been 22 years since I've seen him. I think 22 years or so. He said it's over 20. And he said, do you remember when you prophesied over my son? He was 5 years old. He said, last time you were in church, that church ended up folding. But he said, you know, my little boy came up. And he said, that day you marked his life forever. And he shared what the word was. And I actually remember the word because it was an unusual word. And I was beginning, I prophesied over him just as a little kid that he was called to impact the nations of the world. That he would preach the gospel on every continent and that his life would be marked with mass evangelism and crusades. And I didn't think anything about it afterwards. But when he wrote that thing to me, he said that night, everything changed in his life. He was a five-year-old. He said, Woody, he started dreaming it, thinking it, breathing it. He said now he's 27 years old. He has preached in 85 different nations. He said it marked him forever. See, one word from heaven can mark you forever. It can leave something and it will impact the world. See, God wants to give us something, 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 something we can't get away from because it's an assignment. Something that's beyond us. Come on. Something that's for us and our descendants after us. Something where we can leave a heritage. We actually can leave this place better than when we came. Come on now. You know, many of us, we were part of the problem. But then God rescued us. Now he's made us part of the answer. Come on now. Don't look back. Don't look in your past and say how bad you were. Look how good God was. Come on now. And realize that, you know, your badness didn't disqualify you. And for some ways, it's qualified you. Because you actually can talk to some pretty bad people with authority. And tell them, hey, listen, I know God can rescue you. Most of those people won't believe anyone that's not been in their shoes. But if they know where you came from, they're just looking for someone that's seen the light. They don't want religion. They want to know that there is a God that can get them out of the mess they're in today. Not, they're not even worried about hell. They're not hell tomorrow. You know, when they die, they're worried about the hell they're in right now. And without a vision, we leave them there. You give people a vision, they'll fight to keep it. You set someone free, and they'll become a freedom fighter. Come on now. See, what you see, you end up doing. And I love what remember in Jeremiah chapter 1, in verse 11, it talked about, it said, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he mentioned what he was seeing. And the Lord said, you're seeing well. I'm watching over the words you've seen well to perform. Most of us say, well, that's scripture. No. It's the word that you've seen well. God's not he's not watching over every word that you haven't seen. He can't perform anything you haven't seen. If you haven't seen it, he can't perform it. Because if you haven't seen it, you can't believe it. Come on now. It's what you've seen well. It's that thing that came alive in you. It's that part of you that will honestly, you know, no matter what. You know, I remember I have a friend that is, you know, in Kentucky. She's a woman's minister. I've mentioned this several times. She's the most amazing lady I've ever been around. She has more energy than anyone I've ever seen. She's a couple of years younger than I am, but when she teaches, they have to keep the pews empty on that one side because she runs the pews. Runs up and down the pews. And she said, and she shared something. She said, Woody, and I ate at her house one day, and, you know, her and her husband, and she said, and she had these pictures of a younger lady that looked just like her in a bed. And she just showed them to me. She just took out the book. She said, do you want to know where I was for 13 years of my life? She said, Woody, I was, you know, in college, I was a track star. And she said, I had two beautiful kids. And then I contracted multiple sclerosis. And she said, I got to the point where I was bedridden for 13 years. And he said, I was born again, but I had never heard anything about faith. Never knew God still healed today. And the only picture I had was me just slowly dying. And he said, one day someone gave me some tapes by Kenneth Hagin. He said when he was talking about how God healed him off the bed of affliction, while I'm laying on the bed, it became my story, not his. And she said, when I first heard it, the picture hadn't changed yet. I said, God, can you do that today? He said, I started looking at scriptures. I had people read them to me because I couldn't move. And he said, every day I'd listen to the same tapes. My family thought I was crazy. But I had a picture. All of a sudden, the picture was building up. I saw myself running again, competing again. And she said, it took 2 years. I was bedridden, and one day I just decided to start moving some stuff I hadn't been able to move. And he said, it started off with a toe. I could move my toe, and eventually he said, I could get to the place where I moved my foot. And he said, my family wasn't getting too excited about that. I was still in the bed. But he said, they got excited the day I decided I'm getting out of bed. And he said, I rolled over and I hit the floor. And, and they came to try to pick me up. And I said, don't you dare. He said, I laid there on the floor. And he said, I had to learn. She said, I had to learn to crawl again. And every day, I'd have them get me out instead of falling out. And little by little, I was able to crawl. He said, I remember the day that I was able to pull myself up. He's constantly just working the Word. And he said, it took 2 years. But she, and when she told me that, she said that was, years and years ago. It was like 15, 20 years ago. And she said, I have just run the Boston Marathon for the 14th consecutive year. And he said, Woody, I run because I can. Come on now. Amen. And he said, it started off with a change of the picture. Yeah. I had a picture that I couldn't. I had a picture I was dying. I had a picture with no vision of health. And he said, when the Word came in, it changed the picture. Come on now. And when it changed the picture, all of a sudden, I could do what the picture was dictating to me. And you meditate the Word day and night. And he said, that's the way you succeed. You meditate on it day and night. And you watch as the picture begins to change. And when the picture begins to change and becomes clear, you step into it. Many of you, you've allowed negatives to be developed. God painted a picture. Then circumstances happened. And you chose that picture. Still saying what you used to say, but not seeing yourself in the same light. God's saying it's time. It's time. See yourself. See your assignment into this community. See yourself as changing this community. See yourself as developing leadership. See yourself. Come on now. See yourself. Literally to the call of God. See yourself. And some of you right now, God's saying, I don't care what's going on. I don't care if there's been generations of the wrong picture. I'm changing it. And I'm starting with you. Refuse the old. Amen. Embrace the new. Yes. Come on. Refuse what's been and embrace what should be. Call things that are not yet here, but they're on their way as though they are. Come on now. Call yourself that. Be honest with you. I knew you guys and the way you saw yourself at that point. You hadn't gotten there yet, but you saw yourself there. You saw yourself at the end. So you were moving towards what you saw. Now you see yourself at the beginning. And you're moving towards what you saw. Come on. This okay? I know it's sweet. It's people die for lack of vision or lack of revelation knowledge. Come on now. See, kingdom people never look back. Never do. So I've learned something. When you're a vision creator, every one of us is either a vision creator or a vision killer. We either appreciate people or we depreciate them. When you speak to the inner vision in someone, what's been hidden becomes revealed. You speak to their potential. That's how God does it. When he saw Gideon, he didn't say, "Hey, you little wimp, what are you hiding for?" He called him valiant warrior. He spoke to his potential. He knew what he was going to be and called it as though he already was that. You got to stop calling yourself what you. You got to change the way you see. If you change the way you see, you change the way you talk. Well, I've noticed it again as my son's vision has elevated, how he talks about himself has changed. How he walks has changed. He walks like he owns the place. Everywhere. I mean, he's meeting with presidents. You know, at first it was like, what am I doing here? Now he knows why he's there. Something's changed the way he sees himself. He's walked into a realm where before he wondered if he belonged. Now he knows, now they wonder if they belong. Let me say something else. Whoever sees is in authority. Always. All authority comes through revelation. When he said, whatever you bind shall be bound, whatever you loose shall be loose, you can't bind anything or loose anything if you don't see anything. We can claim all day, I bind you, devil. And the devil laughs at you. He said, no, you're blind. You can't bind me. You cannot bind me unless you see. If you don't see yourself in charge, you're not. A lot of times, I bind you. What you're saying is, I hope you leave. Parents do that. Now I'm your mama or I'm your daddy. Listen to me. And they look. They know who runs the house. Why? Because they're all authorities tied to revelation. When you're in authority, everyone knows it. Jesus taught from revelation knowledge. He only said what he heard the Father saying, only did what he saw the Father doing. And the Bible says he didn't teach like the scribes and Pharisees. The thing that everyone noticed about him was authority. He taught as one having authority. Whoever sees is in authority. That's the problem. That's also the answer. So we need to begin to say, God, show me, show me, show me, show me, show me. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, God's trying to get us back to a place. Come on. He's trying to get us back to a place. He's trying to get us back to a place. The moment you stop seeing, you stop growing. And you stop stretching. And you start retreating. When you're really seeing things, you'll fight for it. You'll fight for it. Is this okay? See, I'm trying to help you as much as I can. See, I believe the more you get saturated with the Holy Ghost, the more God will show you stuff. He'll show you your fruitfulness. He'll show you. He'll begin to prophesy over you. He'll send people to speak to you. Come on now. God has positioned. He sees us. You know, he sees this in heavenly places. You're positioned to see. But because most of us have bought our earthly position above our heavenly position, we can't see anything. When you're seated far above, you can see everything clearly. See this in Christ Jesus. Far above. But we've exalted our condition above our position. And when you exalt your condition, you're blind to your position. Come on, somebody. Good preaching. Thank you. It is. It is. It is. It is. See, those who are current with the kingdom rejoice in the new thing God's doing. Come on now. See, don't come down to the level of the visionless people. Don't come down to people who always want to talk about it. There are always people that want to bring you down to their level. They'll say, get real. And they live in their reality, I live in mine. I'm not saying what their experience is not real. That's their picture. That's their reality. But I'm living in my reality, and I don't want to come down to a place that's blind, because eventually that blindness will rub off. Come on, somebody. Don't camp by dried up brooks. Don't pretend. When something's dried up, say, God, okay, you got to show me next thing. You got to show me. You got to show me. You got to show me. We got to move with you, God. We got to move with you. Is this okay today? God says there's recovery of sight for the blind. You remember when Saul was anointed king? I really think it's one of the most interesting things in 1 Samuel 11 is when one of the enemy kings was coming against them, against Israel. And they offered Israel a deal. We won't attack you as long as you allow us to pluck out your right eye. The moment you allow us to, if you allow us just to steal your vision, we'll live peacefully with you. That offer is really what's being offered in this nation. Right now. We'll get along with you as long as you decide that you don't want to have vision. As long as you lock God out of the picture. Come on now. We'll allow you to cohabitate with us. And we know we'll have all these other blind religions, and we'll have a blind Christianity too, because a seeing Christianity is a threat to blindness. And the sad thing is, there are a lot of Christians who bought into it. Yes. And then they'll say, people like us are mean. Yes. And you know, all those people who buy into it, they blame God. Well, God is sovereign. He's going to do whatever he wants to do. And since God is in charge, if God's in charge, he's doing a rotten job. Yeah, that's right. He gave us the keys. Yeah. But because we don't see, we're not in charge. That's right. And God's just shaking his head because he's not going to invade this place until the lease is up. Yeah. Yeah. So he said, God, he's praying for us. Today, you know what he's praying? Let them see, Lord! Open their eyes! I'm praying for Kaiser. I'm praying for Living Faith Fellowship. And I'm praying for the church here that actually they will have living faith. Yes. That they'll see what's going on in heaven and reproduce it on earth. thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That implies that you see into the heavenlies. Without a heavenly vision, nothing changes on earth. You must be born again to see. Now, I want every eye open. So, you know? I know everyone. How many of you know you're born again? I know the people in here. You all know you're born again. I believe all of you in here are born again. I honestly do. And if you're not, then just ask Jesus. But you know better. But how many of you tonight will say, you're talking to me? I've got to begin to get an anointing to see again. And I'll be honest with you, I know the first word I spoke, recognizing no man after the flesh, is a major problem. That you have begun to know yourself after the flesh more than you know yourself in the spirit. And it's hindered you. You know, you that started in the spirit, why are you going to end it in the flesh? Go back to the place where honestly you saw yourself at the end so you can get there. You saw yourself as changing this community. And you know, sometimes you have to ask God, God, repaint the picture, repaint the picture, repaint the picture. God, breathe on it again. God, clarify it again. God, forgive me for letting go of it. But God, I'm fighting to be able to see it again. So I need your help. God, I need some salve for my eyes. I've got to anoint my eyes, God. That one time they did see. I need some recovery of sight. Yes. If that's you, I want to pray for you tonight. I believe there's an anointing to see. I believe there's an anointing to see. I believe there's an anointing. Some of you, honestly, you're going to have to see an anointing for your family. Beyond what it is. One thing I found out about vision is it breeds vision. What I found out also is when you're around people with no vision, that wears on yours.